I want to begin with a story. A man was walking down a road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And on his way, he was accosted by robbers and thieves who beat him, stripped him, left him half dead on the side of the road. By chance, a priest was walking by, and seeing the man, he passed by on the other side of the road. Likewise, a Levite passed by, and seeing the man, he too passed by on the other side of the road. And then a man came who, had roles been reversed, would have been left there. A Samaritan. And seeing the man, he felt compassion. And so he got down and he treated the man. Poured on him oil and wine. And treated the wounds and bandaged him. And laid him on his own animal. And walked to the nearest town and the inn. And there he cared for the man the rest of that day and all through the night. And when the morning came, he went to the keeper of the inn and he gave him 2 denarii, 2 days' wages. And he said, whatever more it costs, when I come back, I'll repay. I hope as we continue to tell this story again and again throughout this series that it becomes deeper and more meaningful to us. We've learned in a previous lesson that this story was not told in a vacuum, but it was an answer to a question. A lawyer had come to Jesus and asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus had turned it around on him and said, well, what does the law read to you? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, that's it. Go do that and you'll live. And so the lawyer then says, yes, but who is my neighbor? And rather than giving an answer that says, well, your neighbor is everybody who lives on your street, or your neighbor is everybody who lives in your community, or your neighbor is everybody who is in your tribe, or those kinds of answers. Instead, Jesus' response was a story, and it was the story that we just heard. But as we've learned, it wasn't told in a vacuum. It was an answer to a question. It also wasn't told in a vacuum. Jesus actually followed it up with an exhortation. And he says to the lawyer, after telling the story and asking the lawyer which of these men proved to be a neighbor, and the lawyer was able to say the one who helped him, then Jesus says, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. It wasn't just a story to answer a question. It was a story to give instruction. To give a pattern. Go and do likewise. Go and love likewise. Which leaves us with a question. What love is this? What love is demonstrated in this story? To help us understand how we, as children of God, are to live and to love. I find it fascinating that when the lawyer answers Jesus' question, Jesus says to him, how does the law read? What does it say to you? He gives 2 things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the lawyer did not just come up with those. Remember, Jesus' question was, how does the law read to you? The lawyer is not saying, well, having read the entire law, my summation is these 2 things. Actually, the lawyer is quoting 2 laws that are recorded in Moses' law. 1 from Deuteronomy chapter 6, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And the other one from Leviticus chapter 19. The law of loving your neighbor. And when we go back to Leviticus chapter 19 and we see where that statement comes from, in Leviticus 19 and verse 18, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. When we look at the context, I think we are impressed, or at least I am impressed, even more with Jesus' masterful ability to teach. Because when he tells this story, I see actually quite a number of connections between the story that he tells and the context of this commandment. And when we see the law of loving our neighbor here in Leviticus 19, and then we go to the story and we see how the Samaritan loves, I think we learn something about the love that Jesus has told us, go and do likewise. Leviticus chapter 19, beginning at verse 9. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. But in righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. I want to walk through this passage, the law of loving your neighbor, and notice some connections that reach back from Jesus' story of the benevolent Samaritan, and see the kind of love that Jesus prescribes for us. In fact, what I call it is a next level kind of love. It's a next level. We're going to see the law, and we're going to see that what the Samaritan does is he consistently takes this law of loving your neighbor to the next level. Not just looking for lines and limitations and regulations that demand love from him, but he goes even above and beyond what the law prescribed. Because as Paul points out when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and the others, there is no law against such. And Paul's point is, there's no limit on love. You can love as much as you possibly can. And when you do, you will never break the law. Before we examine that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Glorious God and Father in heaven, you are great. You are powerful. You are wondrous and mighty and majestic and merciful. You are firm and convicted. And you are love. And we know that you have loved us not by some legal stipulation, but you have gone to the next level in loving us. And we are humbled and amazed and awed at your love for us. Father, our love pales in comparison. In fact, when we think about it, we are overwhelmed. And know that we cannot love as you love, except by your strength and your love in us. And we pray that you will fill us with your love and your strength, that today we might become a little bit more like you, loving even more than we have in days gone by. Help us to see from this Samaritan your example of love, that we might become more like you, shining your light to our family, to our friends, to our brothers and sisters, to our neighbors, our co-workers, even to our enemies. Help us to have a love like this. We love you, Father. We thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to welcome you here this morning. So glad that you can be here, especially for our guests. We are thankful that you are here with us this morning. Hopefully you received a program. Inside that, there is a connection card. We would love for you to fill that out. And in our collection that's going to happen following the sermon this morning, you can drop that in the collection plate. And that way we can let you know how much we appreciate your having been with us. And we can let you know about other great opportunities to worship God and bring glory to God that we have here. We're so thankful that you're here. You may be a little bit more tech savvy. I forgot to include the slide this morning. But on the back of the program, you'll see up in the top right corner, then we've got a little phone number that you can text the word welcome to, and you'll receive a connection card via your phone. And you can fill that out there. Again, we just want to let you know how much we appreciate you being here with us this morning. In just a few moments, Joe Rose is going to be back up here on the stage, and he'll be wrapping us up. And he will probably say something at the end like, you can go to the back and you can shake hands with Edwin or him, Joe. But he'll say that because that's what he says every time. That's what he's normally supposed to say. That's probably what he'll say. I am not going to be back there. And I am not going to be back there, not because I don't love you, but because I do love you. I'm not shaking hands this morning. In fact, I'm going to try to avoid you as much as possible. And that's for your benefit, not for mine. I'm going to miss that. But I'm going to probably sneak off out the front door here and just let you guys get to meet one another. I was telling the folks in the class, for those of you who weren't here, I had this cough for 2 weeks. And I just couldn't get rid of it, so I finally went to the doctor, and they've got me on medicine, and now I feel really sick. And so, I just don't want to bring that to you. I'm going to try not to breathe too hard on these folks that brave the front pews, and we'll get through today. But, I want you to know how much I appreciate you being here, and invite you to be back tonight as we continue this series, If I Can Survive. And tonight, we're going to talk about the lawyer who is seeking to justify himself. Because I know I do that sometime. But this morning, I want to talk about this love. What kind of love is this? And what I said in just a moment ago is exactly what I see. It's a next level kind of love. And we see that by walking through this passage in Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19 and verse 9 says, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest, and you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. When God gave a law about loving your neighbor, he said, here's what you need to do. When you go out to your vineyards and you go out to your olive groves, when you go out to your wheat fields and you're harvesting, don't take it all for yourself. What you need to do is leave some in the corners and in the sides so that those who are poor and those who are sojourners can come along. They don't have their own fields. They don't have their own ability to feed and provide for themselves. And so you, because you love your neighbor, leave some of the grapes there on the vine. Leave some of the olives there in the trees. Leave some of the wheat there in the field and allow them to glean that so they can be cared for. And when you've done that, you've loved your neighbor. But of course, what that means is the part that you took with you, whose is that? Well, that's mine. Yes, I leave the gleanings in the field, and so those who are in need can go through my fields because I love them. But the part that I have brought with me, that's mine. And now I can sell it in the marketplace, or I can use it for me and for my family. But then we come to Jesus' story. The Samaritan, if he was following this law, had already left grapes in his vineyard that the poor and those in need could use. He had already left olives in the orchard that the poor and those who were needy could use. And he has with him his own juice, his own wine, and his own olive oil. That's his. If he's like the lawyer, he's left behind for those who are in need, and now he's got his own. But what does he do in the story that Jesus tells us? He uses his own oil and his own wine, and using those things that were his, legally prescribed to be his, not left for someone else, he used that to love his neighbor. The lawyer, of course, knowing the law, knowing, hey, I've kept the law. There's grapes in my vineyard left for those who are in need. There are olives in the orchard left for those who are in need. This is mine. You can't ask me to give what's mine. I've already left for the poor and the needy and the sojourner. But the Samaritan is not looking for laws and limits and regulations. What is he doing? He takes the law to the next level. Yes, this is mine. Yes, I've already given at the office. But here's someone in need. And I'm going to love them. And I'm going to love them from what was mine. He takes the love to the next level. We continue on, and I want to come to verse 12. We'll come back to verse 11 in a moment as it connects with verse 13. But in verse 12, he says, "You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." Now, on the surface, that doesn't seem to connect with Jesus' story. Jesus' story doesn't mention the idea of swearing by the name of God or wearing the name of God or doing anything falsely. But I can't help but think about that priest and that Levite. And I think about how in their minds, and I understand that the priest and the Levite are, it's a story. Jesus has made up this story. But as I try to put this story in reality, a Levite and a priest passing by, what might cause them to pass by on the other side? Now, I can think of something that might cause a Levite and a priest to pass by on the other side as they're on that road from Jerusalem to Jericho, probably themselves on the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. A Levite and a priest would be on the road to Jerusalem because of the service that they would offer to God. And how, if they were offering that service to God, if they try to help this fellow and he dies on the way, do you know what that means for them and their service to God? That means they can't do it because now they've become unclean. And what kind of excuse they might have in their minds? Well, we're wearing the name of God. I'm a Levite. I'm a priest. I have duties. I have responsibilities. This is not one of them. In fact, this might hinder my duties and my responsibilities. The Levite and the priest were wearing the name of God. They were representatives of God to the people and of the people to God. And yet, when they decided to pass by this fellow on the side of the road, they were wearing that name falsely. Sure, they would go to the temple and fulfill their role, but here was somebody that they needed to be representing God to. And needed to be representing to God. But they didn't. They were wearing that name falsely. Think about a story I read one time of a young lady. Guys, you know what this is like, right? A fella had finally worked up his courage to ask the young lady out on a date. And so he kind of sneaks up. And in the lunchroom, kind of sidles up and asks her out on a date. And you know how he did it, guys, quietly. He did it very quietly. "Hey, you know, you wouldn't want to go out on a date with me this weekend?" Which, by the way, is not the way to do that, fellas. Because what they usually say is, "It doesn't sound like you want to go out on a date this weekend." But that's a different story. This young lady loudly, so everyone in the lunchroom can hear, says, "I'm sorry, I don't date non-Christians." Humiliated, the young man slunk off. Just a few moments later, they were in class and a pop quiz happens. And the teacher, being entirely too trusting, stepped out of the room. And somebody handed the young lady a cheat sheet. And one of the other students noticed it and loudly proclaimed, "Well, I guess the young lady who won't date a non-Christian will take a cheat sheet from one." You see what's happening there? Wearing the name of Christ like a badge. Look at me. I am a Christian. And yet wearing it falsely. The Samaritan took love to the next level. It wasn't just about, I've got this duty to God. And you know, the interesting thing is that this whole story kind of hinges on the fact that the Samaritan gets his duty to God all wrong. He does. There's no doubt about that. Jesus himself says about the Samaritans that they don't know what they're doing when it comes to worship in John chapter 4. But here's a Samaritan who gets his duty to God all wrong, but acts more like one of God's children because he takes love to the next level. Now, please understand what I am not saying. I am not saying if you love your neighbor, it doesn't matter how you love God. What I am saying, and what Jesus is saying, and what the story is saying, is if you don't love your neighbor, it doesn't matter how you love God. You see the point there? I am not saying if you love your neighbor, it doesn't matter whether or not you love God. I'm pointing out to you, if you don't love your neighbor, it doesn't matter whether or not you love God. He took that love to the next level. He would not use the name of God falsely in this situation. And then we come to verse 13, which ties back into verse 11 where it said, you shall not steal. But in verse 13, it says, you shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. Well, you can imagine the lawyer would say, well, I didn't rob this man. I'm not the one who's guilty. I've loved him because I didn't rob him. The Samaritan understood that. The Samaritan didn't rob him either. The Samaritan doesn't get to come and see this man and say, well, I'm okay because I didn't do this. What the Samaritan understands is if he passes by, he might as well have been one of the men who beat him and left him there half dead, because he too would be leaving him there half dead. He takes that love to the next level. Rather than simply recognizing that he didn't actively do him harm, he understands that in order to love him, he needs to actively do him good. You see that next level kind of love that he has? Not just looking for the lines and laws and limitations, but how can I love this man? And he goes to the next level. Continuing on in that verse, continuing in verse 13, it says, the wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning. What a powerful law. When you love your neighbor and he's been doing work for you and he's done something for you, you pay him. You pay him what his work is worth. I have to tell you, there is a whole lot in that law that we need to think about, even before we look at what the Samaritan does, even beyond that. I don't know. Some of you are in business. Have you had your Christian brothers come up to you or sisters and say, hey, I know you do this. How about the Christian discount? I mean, I tell you what I know about Christians. Christians are cheap. And we have this idea that, well, because you're a Christian, I shouldn't have to pay you what your work is worth. Now look, if you're a Christian and you want to give discounts to your brothers and sisters, that is great. That is wonderful. Please let me know. But this idea that because we're Christians, somehow that should let me off from having to pay you what your work is worth? How come we don't ever do it the other way? How come we don't ever let the Christian business person say, hey, because we're Christians, can I charge you twice what it's worth? Can I charge you more because we're Christians? Why don't we ever think about it that way? I mean, there's something about this law of love that says, look, I love you. Your work is worth something. I'll pay you what your work is worth. You give the wages of the hired man. But here's what's interesting. I find it interesting that when Jesus tells his story, he very specifically says that the man gave to the innkeeper 2 denarii. And if your Bible is like mine, it has a little footnote that explains exactly what a denarii is. What does the footnote say? A denarii is a day's wage for a common laborer. So now the law says if somebody has done work for you, you give them their wages. This man on the side of the road hadn't done a lick of work for the Samaritan. But what does he do? On his behalf, he gives 2 days' wages. That's taking love to the next level. Yes, it is love to pay a person who has worked for me what his work is worth. But he takes that love to the next level. And think about it. If this Samaritan has 2 denarii, who do you think did the day's work for those days' wages? He took from his own work, his own wages, and he gave to this fella on behalf of this fella. That's taking love to the next level. We continue on in Leviticus chapter 19 and we get to verse 14. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. Think about what this law is about. What this law is saying, why would anyone curse the deaf? We hear that and think, wow, that would be just, that'd just be flat awful. But the reason someone would curse a deaf person is because the deaf person can't hear them. I can get away with it if I curse a deaf person because the deaf person won't know I did it. Why would anybody put a stumbling block before a blind person? Because the blind person won't see that I did it and I can get away with it. Now the law of course is that, look, just because people can't see what you're doing, God can see. You don't curse the deaf person because God hears. You don't put a stumbling block before the blind person because God sees. That's the law. But again, we're down to that point that this Levite and this priest, as they see this fella, I can think if I were in their shoes and I was one of them, I'd say, well, look, that guy's going to die. I'm looking. Can you imagine that the Levite and the priest, as they came up and they see that man, they didn't just pass by. You know what they did. Then they pass by. There's nobody here to see it. But I didn't curse him. I'm not the one that beat him. But the Samaritan recognized that it wasn't about what this person's going to know or what anybody else has seen. It's about loving this person. And God sees. And so he takes his love to the next level. Yeah. As far as people were concerned, the Levite and the priest would get away with it. Nobody would know. That guy's going to die. He's not going to be able to tell anybody. They'll get away with it. But the Samaritan wasn't just satisfied with getting away with it. He knew this fellow needed love. And he gave it to him. The next level kind of love. Leviticus 19 and verse 15. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. But in righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. And you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Now the purpose of this law is obviously about being in a court of law. When he says don't stand up against the life of your neighbor, what he's saying is, do not go into the court and give false testimony that is going to cost this brother or sister their lives. Don't do that. You don't do injustice. Well, the lawyer, of course, would point out in this story that we're not in a court of law. I'm not standing, I'm not giving testimony against the life of this person. And yet again, I think about the Levite and the priest, and I think if I'm in their shoes, and what kind of excuses I might make to justify why I'm going to pass by. And one of the things I can see a Levite and a priest saying is, well, if this person had been living properly, God would never have allowed this to happen to them. Who am I to stand in the way of God's judgment? Let me ask you, do we ever do that with people? We see someone in some kind of hardship and we assume that they're there because of their own doing, and maybe they are. And what we do is withhold love, and we may not be in a court of law testifying against them, but in our own actions, in our own lives, that's exactly what we're doing. We're standing against the life of our neighbor, testifying by our actions. Well, they're not worthy of this. They don't deserve this. That's not what the Samaritan did. The Samaritan didn't sit back and wonder why this happened. The Samaritan didn't sit back and wonder if the fellow deserved it. What the Samaritan did was he saw someone who needed love. And rather than standing against his life, he strived to help him live. That's a next level kind of love. Not looking for lines and limitations, but a next level kind of love. And then finally, we get to Leviticus 19 and verse 18. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And when I read that, I really see the disingenuousness of the lawyer. Because I know what a lawyer would think when he would read that. The lawyer would say, oh, he did tell me who my neighbor was. My neighbor was the sons of my own people. I mean, there it is in the verse. Don't bear a grudge against the sons of your own people. against the sons of your own people, but love your neighbor as yourself. Well, there it is, lawyer. You wanted to know what's the limitations? Sons of your own people. If they're not your own people, you don't have to love them. But if they are your own people, they're your neighbor, love them. But the Samaritan doesn't worry about that. In fact, in Jesus' story, he doesn't even tell us what nationality the guy is that got robbed. We kind of assume that he must be a Jew. We don't know. Because that's not even a part of the story. The Samaritan is not looking for pedigree. He just sees somebody who needs love. And what does he do? He loves him. Providing for his, that's a next level kind of love. What love is this? It's a next level kind of love. It's a kind of love that doesn't say, I need to know what the rules are. I need to know what the limitations are. Because it understands that there is no law against love. There is no law against love. And so as we wrap up in the next few moments, what I'd like to do is I'd like to make a little comparison. And we're just going to run through these. I'm just going to state them. And so if you're filling in the blanks, get your pens ready because we're going to go through them quick. And everybody said thank you. Quick, here we go. I just want to give some comparisons. A lawyer's kind of love versus this kind of Samaritan's kind of love. And then you can spend some time thinking about that this afternoon. As we compare the lawyer with the good Samaritans, lawyer's love from obligation. A good Samaritan loves from compassion and mercy. You tell me the law, I'll do it. You prove to me I have to, I'll love that way. The lawyer says, show me compassion and mercy, I'll love. The lawyer says, the lawyer's love as a means to gain blessing. But good Samaritans love because they have been blessed. Lawyers look for lines and limitations on their love. Good Samaritans take love to the next level. Lawyers seek to preserve their own goods. Good Samaritans love with sacrifice. Lawyers see love as an event. Good Samaritans see love as a process. What have I got to do? Give me the checklist. I'll do those things. But what does the Samaritan do? I'm going to care for him. I'm going to walk him to the inn. And then I know he's going to need more. I'm going to come back. A process. Lawyers love by refraining from harm, but good Samaritans love by actively helping. I'm not the one who robbed him. I loved him. But the Samaritan saw someone who needed help, and he helped. Lawyers love in order to pay back. Somebody works, you give them their wages. But good Samaritans love in order to give freely. Lawyers love those they judge worthy. Good Samaritans love those who need it. Lawyers love those they decide deserve it. Good Samaritans love those who need it. Lawyers love friends, don't we all? But good Samaritans love even enemies. And lawyers believe their love for God makes up for not loving their neighbors. I go to the right church. We do the right things. It's got the right name on the sign. Doesn't matter what I do Monday through Saturday. Good Samaritans know they don't really love God if they don't love their neighbor. Good Samaritans know they don't really love God if they don't love their neighbor. What love is this? It's a next level kind of love. Jesus said, go and do likewise. How are you doing at that? As you're clearly aware, you can now put your notes away, please. Pull out some songbooks if you'd like. Brother Fannin is going to lead us in another song here in just a moment. Go and do likewise. Loving like a Samaritan. Man, I don't know about you, but I struggle looking at this. It is just flat overwhelming. Just overwhelming. The idea of thinking that I'm supposed to do that all the time, every day, with everybody I meet. I have blown that so badly over and over again. And I might get better at it, but wow. And I'll tell you, one of the things that highlights to me is a mistake I think that I often make with stories like this. Because all too often I am like the lawyer and I'm coming to God, I'm coming to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Give me the checklist. Give me these things. You prove to me the things I have to do. I'll do them. And when Jesus tells the story, let's just face it, the story he tells leaves me saying, I can't do that. You want me to be like that guy all the time, every day, with everybody I meet? I'm going to fail at that. And so then, like the lawyer, what I want to do is, surely you don't mean everyone. Surely you just mean my 10 favorite people. I can do that. Surely you don't mean everyone. You mean the people that I like. I can do that, maybe. I like a lot of people. And Jesus doesn't give us those cop-outs. He doesn't give us those, go and do likewise. That's all he says. And what Jesus is really trying to drive us to understand is, if my approach to eternal life is tell me the things I have to do so I can get myself eternal life, too bad for you. You ain't going to make it. Because if it's going to be based on what you're doing, you've already blown it and you're not ever going to measure up from here on out. See, what love is this? It's a next level kind of love. It's a God kind of love. What love is this? It's the love that Jesus had for us when he looked down at us and saw us stripped, robbed, beaten, dying. And he came down and healed us with his blood and bandaged our wounds. And he went to the Father and said, whatever it costs, I will pay. No, that's not freedom to go on about saying, oh, good, then I don't have to love my neighbor. No, no. How can we be loved by God like that and not let it change us? But what we need to see, what love is this? It's God's love. How can we not respond to that? How can we not turn to the one who said, I'll pay? And we're giving you an opportunity this morning to turn to him and accept his payment for your sin, for the fact that you don't measure up and you won't measure up. Again, not freedom to just continue in sin, but recognizing I'm only even going to get closer to him if I submit to him. If we can help you do that this morning, turning to Jesus, allowing him to wash your sins away by his blood, entering into the watery grave of baptism, dying with him and raised to walk in his life. What we're doing is we're going to sing a song and we're going to invite you to come to the front so we can help you with that while we're singing. So I'm going to tell everybody else to stand and sing and you can come forward right now and we'll help you.